Save me by God, we're thankful that there is a day coming when we will see your face. God, we're thankful that in that day every tear will be wiped away. And God, we will experience the joys of heaven like we've never experienced anything on this earth. Nothing can compare, Father, and we're thankful for that. God, tonight, though, we're here on earth. And we're here for a purpose. And so, Father, I pray that as your word goes out tonight, that you would open our ears, open our minds, and open our hearts to what it is that you have in store for us. God, help us to be in tune to what it is that you have in store for us still here on this earth, God. Because if you didn't have something for us, then I believe you probably would have just called us up when we got saved. But, God, you've left us here on this earth for a purpose. And so, God, I pray that you would use us in ways that can only be through you. Father, tonight, as Pastor William comes to share your word, I pray that you would give him the words to say, that you would hide him behind the cross, and that we would leave this place today knowing that we have encountered God Almighty. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for everything you do for us. It's in your holy name we pray.
Come on. Pastor said this morning, and if I understood correctly, that he's going to be talking tonight about mercy. Is that right? So he said, I don't know if you'll be able to find a song that goes with that. And I was looking through my tracks, and this one jumped out at me. So hopefully it'll bless you the way it does me.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen, I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. In the middle.
Speak to you this evening from Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. We have been over the past few Sunday nights talking about this upside down kingdom that Jesus established. And I hope that as we've been going through this, and I said this in the very beginning, and I hope that you have found it to be true, that we have been looking at the kind of the progressive nature of this section of the Sermon on the Mount in that we call the Beatitudes. Now, I do think that as you look at this, you're going to find out that many of the things that Jesus has said, that they've been convicting. I mean, to think that we have to be poor in spirit enough to expose our sin before God, or that we should be mourning over our own sin and the sin of the world, or that the only way that we're really going to know deep satisfaction is to be hungry. Well, that's okay, but then you come to this one. And here, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Now, that phrase, I think, should probably bring even more conviction upon us when we stop and we think about it, because at times, maybe this is not your case, but at times we can be very harsh in our criticism of other people. We can say things at times in places that we ought to just keep our mouths shut. Like I did at the restaurant a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, you know, I got a little frustrated that one particular restaurant in town now is serving alcohol, and I said something about it. Didn't have anything to do with the little girl who was asking the question, but I had to apologize to her. Y'all may not like me telling you these things, but I'm trying to be real with you in all of this, you know. And sometimes I think of the callousness of all these, and I think sometimes of my own callousness. But then we really have to be at a point and place that we can pray about about this. We should not be as the tax collector was as recorded in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. When you read that, the one guy stood off and said, "Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him." But then the tax collector was there and he said, "Oh God, have mercy on me." A lot of times we look at people and we think, well, they've brought all this on themselves. They're getting what they deserve. I've heard people say it, if you make your bed hard, you have to lie in it. Maybe you've never heard that before. But we say those things, and sometimes we feel justified in saying it. But Jesus, don't you like how I shifted in that? But Jesus... In this upside down kingdom basically tells us that the only way that we are going to receive mercy is to give mercy. And if that is true, then some of us are in trouble. Just smile, nod your head, you know. And I know, and right here, I know that and understand that I am about to go from preaching to meddling, but we also understand that there are those who have wronged us, and sometimes we harbor bitterness toward them, even an unforgiving spirit, and sometimes it's gone from just an unforgiving spirit to bitterness, even into hatred. And we don't want them to have mercy. We don't want God to do anything for them. And we have biblical evidence of that if you look at Jonah. Because Jonah was sent to Nineveh to try to rescue the people. And when God did exactly what Jonah was afraid God would do, Jonah got mad about it. Do you remember that? Sitting under a vine, and a worm came along and ate the root on the vine, and the vine withered, and Jonah was mad, and God then has a conversation with Jonah about his bitterness even toward God and his bitterness toward the people, his bitterness about the vine. And you know what bothers me about the book of Jonah? We don't know how it ends. We don't. The last statement that we see is God saying that to Jonah, that there are all these people there who don't even know their right hand from their left hand, and yet what am I supposed to do is basically what God says to Jonah, and we never see Jonah's response. We don't know whether he repented or whether he died in bitterness. We don't know. And for somebody like me, that bothers me. I want to know the end of the story. But we don't have it. One thing I can tell you about mercy is that mercy is in short supply these days. But when you begin to look at this upside down kingdom that Jesus has given for us to live out in this world, we who call ourselves Christians have to be people of mercy. And so I want us this evening to look at what we find in these verses about mercy, or in this verse about mercy. And maybe if we can apply what we find through the Word of God about this thing called mercy, maybe it will change our lives, our attitudes, and the lives of other people who are around us. Well, first of all, what does the word mercy mean? What does the word merciful mean? The Greek word that is translated merciful here, it means to give help to the wretched, to relieve the miserable. Wow. And before we go any further, we have to understand that there is a difference between mercy and grace. Grace is shown to the undeserving, whereas mercy is compassion for those who are in misery. Mercy deals with the consequences of sin, whereas grace deals with sin itself. Mercy is there to eliminate pain, whereas grace is there to cure the disease. Mercy says, I pity you, where grace says, I pardon you. They're drastically different. Mercy has this meaning of compassion, and we need to know that. Yet mercy is not just simply feeling compassion about something or someone. Mercy means that we do something about it. I learned a new word when I was a junior in high school. I had never heard this word before. Miss Dombrowski said it to us there in the counseling room when about four of us juniors were there, and we were going to go over to the elementary school to help the teachers out on an hour a day, and that word was empathy. I had never heard that word. I knew what sympathy was. I mean, I understood that, but I had never heard the word empathy until Miss Dombrowski told it to us there in that counseling room. And we were to go over, and she said, now you can't go over and have sympathy on these kids. You have to go over and feel what they're feeling. Mercy moves beyond feeling what somebody is feeling. Mercy moves to the point that it does something. It's when you and I, in a very practical way, show compassion to someone. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, said, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." One commentator basically said that Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 is saying, is blessed are those who practice forgiveness. Blessed are those who do something about someone else's situation. God works in our lives. He doesn't give us what we deserve. That's grace. But then He begins to move in our life to bring about things that we could not otherwise have, and that is mercy. And that's how God works. God doesn't show mercy without punishing sin. That's part of this whole thing. You just don't do wrong and get by. But God in His mercy provides and tries to lift us up out of where we are to place us in another place where we should be. And God just doesn't wink at these things. We have this idea, and it's promoted in our world, that God just looks at the things that we do and kind of passes over them. You know, I've seen parents look at the things that their kids was doing, and they've told them, don't do that. And when they went ahead and did it, the parents just laughed about it. Can I tell you what happens when that goes on? That just reinforces the behavior. God doesn't reinforce our bad behavior. God wants our bad behavior to change, but God wants to provide for us and wants to help us in our situation. And so Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, is basically saying, blessed are those who practice compassion, those who practice forgiveness. And I've already said this, but please understand, mercy is compassion in action. It's meeting people's needs. You go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 8, and God is speaking there to the people of Israel, and He says, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God has given to you, do not be hard-hearted. Listen to this. Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend to them whenever they need, whatever they need. God wants us to be merciful. God wants us to show compassion in action. And that's one thing that you find out in this younger generation. They want to be involved in something that is not just talking about compassion, but that is doing something. That is active, that has their hands, even if they get their hands dirty. They don't mind because they're doing something. In a lot of ways, the younger generation at times is more merciful than the older generation. At times we, and here I am classifying myself as part of this, we say, pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and move on. And they come along and say, help me pick you, let me help you get up so that you can move along. So mercy is really compassion in action. But mercy, and I've already said this when I said I went from preaching to meddling, mercy also means to be forgiving. Forgiving a person who is in the wrong. It means not holding on to a grudge or resentment or taking advantage of someone else's weakness or their needs. And if you look at trying to find something to show this in the Bible, all you've got to do is go to Joseph. If there was anyone in the Bible who should not have shown mercy, it would have been Joseph. What did his brothers do? They put him in a pit. They took his beautiful coat, dipped it in blood, went home, told their dad, bless his heart, he got killed. When all along they had sold him into slavery, he goes to Egypt. He does everything that he's supposed to do there. He lives out and goes through all kinds of horrific experiences there. Ends up in prison, tells what's going to happen to people. And those people said, you know, I'll remember you when I get out of here. And they didn't remember him for several years, and he stayed there. I'm taking all of Joseph's life and I'm compacting it into about four sentences. And then there was a famine. Joseph's second only to Pharaoh. And his brothers all show up. Well, now I got them right where I want them now. I'll just have the whole lot put into prison. And what does he do? He shows compassion. He shows forgiveness. He doesn't hold what they did to him against them. They were at his mercy. And he shows them compassion. I think if you and I are going to practice this thing of mercy when it comes to forgiveness, we first and foremost have to remember our own sin. Now, we don't like to talk about it like that, but that's really the truth. We have to remember who we were and what we were. And when we remember who we were and remember what we were, we will look at people who are going through many times some of the same situations. And yes, they have brought it on themselves. But you and I brought a lot of stuff on ourselves too, and yet God was still merciful. Amen, William, good preaching. It's so important for us to realize that that's what this is all about. It is showing compassion. It is showing mercy. It is giving forgiveness. Well, what is the result of all of this? If we're going to be merciful, what is the result of all this? Well, there's really only one result of showing mercy. And that is that you and I then will be shown mercy. It doesn't mean that people are going to give us mercy. It means that God will give us mercy. People in this world may not give us anything but trouble. That's what Jesus said. That's not what William said. But God will show us mercy. It is God who ultimately brings about mercy, who gives us the kingdom, who comforts us, who helps us, who gives us the satisfaction, who provides for us. And this little word there is still there. It's in all of them. It's that they will be shown mercy. So it means that we alone will be given mercy, not by all these other people, but we will be given mercy by God. James chapter 2 verse 13 tells us there will be no mercy for you if you have not been merciful to others. But if you have been merciful, then God's mercy toward you will win out over His judgment against you. That's from the New Living Translation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 14 and 15, He says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And please don't say, well, if I'm merciful to other people, then God then has to be merciful to me. No, that's not how salvation comes about. Salvation begins first and foremost with repentance. And then God forgives us and shows us mercy. And then we, in turn, because we have been forgiven, are able to show mercy. And the people who are truly the children of God, and they have received this kind of mercy and have been repentant of their sins, they themselves then will be merciful. And ultimately will receive mercy at the end. Ultimately, this mercy is the evidence of what we will receive from God and we have given to other people. Well, that's what merciful means, and that's the result of mercy. But now I want to give you a test. In fact, I'm going to give you two tests. Well, that was a pleasant thing to go from, to, wasn't it? So, you know. And they're discussion questions. No, they're not. I hated discussion questions. One of my teachers in high school, the final, every year, in all of her classes. The final for that class, you'd walk into it and you had blank pieces of paper, and the question on the board read this: discuss everything we've talked about this semester. I'm serious. I had her for American history. I had her for sociology, and that was the question. And everybody in the school knew that Miss Lang's questions were going. The final would be discuss everything that we talked about. Now let me tell you what the tests were each week. Discuss everything that we've talked about this week. So as it went along, when you got to that last question, if you had done what you were supposed to all semester, you could answer that last question. And really, it's the same thing in life. If you've done what you've all supposed to be doing, you're going to be able to answer the last question. But we're going to take two tests tonight. The first thing is, if we have no mercy toward those who are in need, are we really Christian? Well, that was out of nowhere, wasn't it? You know? If we're going to call ourselves Christian, then we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to prove something in all this. And that is really the point of the parable of the Good Samaritan. I mean, Jesus didn't just tell this parable to waste time. Jesus told this parable to show those religious leaders there that day that they didn't love their neighbor as they were supposed to. That they had failed to fulfill God's law. And that the one that they considered a dog was the only one that really did anything. I don't know how, and as I said earlier, I understand that it's easy to look at people and say, well, they brought this on themselves. Some of them did, some of them didn't. Now, let's be honest about it. But at that point in time, who are we to be their judge in relation to that? Okay? If you and I look at the needs of people who are around us and we refuse to do anything about it, then something is wrong with our hearts. John in 1 John chapter 3 verse 17 says, if anyone has material possession and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Now, that's not what William said. That's what John said, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, this part of the test we may not like. In fact, you look at this and some people just want to reject it outright. They say, well, that's their fault. No, it's not always their fault. There are circumstances and situations many times that we have no idea about. It is not our responsibility to determine what is going on in their life. It is our responsibility to do something to help. That's one of the reasons that so many people look at the church and they say they're hypocrites. We talk about love. We talk about action. We talk about compassion. And yet so often we do nothing. And I'm going to tell you, if there's anybody in this room who would be hard-hearted about things like that, it's me. I'll never forget sitting in the church van one night. I went to pick up some kids. And so you know that's not here, you know, because we just got a van, so it can't be here. But I went and picked up the kids, and we had been helping this family out for quite some time. And I'll never forget him getting in the van and him popping down in the back seat, and his friend was there, and they began to talk. And he said to his friend, "We got a big screen TV today." Well, that kind of perked my ears because we had just paid their electric bill. Turned out what they had done, they had gone down to Rent-A-Center or whatever it was there in that little town, and they had rented a big screen TV and were going to pay it out like that. Well, I will tell you that I got angry. And the next time that Mom came to say, "We need help with the electric bill," "I'm sorry, you've got a big screen TV, we're not helping you." Wasn't Pat's fault. Wasn't the kid's fault. It was Dad's fault. But they still had to have electricity. The kids still needed running water. We have to look at ourselves and we have to determine whether or not we're going to do what Jesus would do or what we're going to do. The next one moves toward forgiveness. And if we refuse to give forgiveness, then I think we really need to examine ourselves. And please understand, I understand completely. I know that we can sit here right now and we can say, and you, if you were to say it to me, I'd have to be honest with you. You could say, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You're right. I don't know. But God knows what I did and God knows what you did. And yet was loving and kind enough to forgive us. There's an interesting parable in Matthew chapter 18 that Jesus tells about an unmerciful slave, is how it's termed in my Bible at the heading up there. And the slave owed his master what would be in our currency today, millions and millions of dollars. He was in such debt to his master that he could never, ever pay the master. And so he went to the master and he said to the master, please forgive me. And the master miraculously did, wrote the entire debt off. And you know what the guy did? He didn't go out and rejoice and have everybody come over to eat supper that night. He went out and found somebody who owed a fraction of what he had owed, and when the man could not pay, he had that man put into prison until he could pay the debt. That has always interested me. How's he going to pay the debt from prison? And the other slaves who know what had happened, they go and tell the master what has happened. And he calls the wicked servant into him and he says this, the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then Jesus adds this, and this is what bothers me. This is how your heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister. And he just doesn't stop there. I wish he had of. It would have been easier that way. He doesn't stop there. He adds these words, from your heart. This is not just, oh, I forgive you. This is something that happens deep inside of us. And the only reason, please get this, if you don't get anything else tonight, get this. The only reason that you and I can forgive from the heart is because of what God has done in our hearts. It does not, I will repeat it again, it does not come naturally. It is brought about because of God's working in our hearts. It's not just saying the right words in the right way. It is meaning them. Did you get that? Not just saying the right words in the right way. It is meaning them. And Jesus tells us that if we're not willing to forgive somebody that has wronged us, we better look out. If we have hatred in our heart towards somebody, we better look out. If there's something going on, then we better take stock of our own relationship with God. We may not be able to forgive perfectly. And sometimes it takes time. And sometimes, let's be honest about it, sometimes the devil will try to work in and try to weave in and make hard feelings come back. And it's at that point in time we have to say, God, you are going to have to help me. I determine that I will forgive. I was riding back from Muscle Shoals to Russellville, Alabama. We pastored in Russellville for about 4 years. We lived in Muscle Shoals for about 13 years. These were two separate times. But it was when we were there the first time in Russellville, and I was driving back, and we had a Christian radio station there in Muscle Shoals or in the Florence area. WBTG was the name of the radio station, and I was listening. I used to listen to the radio all the time. Since I've had hearing problems, I rarely listen to music in the car anymore because it just splatters and it just makes all kinds of. It's just not fun anymore. And but I was listening. Had the radio on. You know how you ride down the road, not even really paying attention. And I was on WBTG, and I was listening. And I don't even know who was talking. I can't even tell you that. But it was a lady, and she was talking. And she was talking about the fact that she had all this bitterness, she had all this unforgiveness in her heart, and she said, God finally spoke to me about that and said, you're going to have to do something about that. And she said, I went home that afternoon and took a yellow pad piece, you know, fool's cap they used to call it, I think, but anyway, a yellow pad, and she said, I began to write down everything that I could remember that anybody had ever done. And she said, I went all the way down that thing, and she said, I filled pages. And she said, when I was all finished writing down everything that I could think of, she said, I went down through them one by one and checked them off and said, I forgive you. She went to the next one. And please understand, she said, this brought back a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of issues but she said, I had to do this in order to get peace in my own heart. Now this, you don't have to do this. I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just telling you this is what she did. But when she said it, growing up as a preacher's kid, there were some things that were said about my dad and said about me and said about all these things. And so I kind of had some hard feelings about some of those things. And here I am a preacher now. She said that after she finished and had checked off every one of those on that list, she said, I took that list out into a fire pit that they had out beside their house, and she said, I set it on fire and watched it burn. I got back to my office, and I began to write down. And I wrote down, and I wrote down, and I wrote down all the things that I could think of. And I went through every one of those things and said, I forgive. And then I took it out back and burned it. I would like to tell you that all that has passed away, but there have been times I've had to go back and I've had to say about things when it would come back in my heart. I've had to say, I forgive. Again. And the second time. And sometimes the third time. Jesus isn't just saying that we forgive somebody because it's a pleasant thing to do. Jesus is saying that forgiveness is what is the right thing to do. Mercy is the right thing to do. Compassion is the right thing to do. We live in a world that tells us to get even. I heard someone the other day say, and I'm serious, they said this. I was in a business, and they were talking back and forth between their each other. And one person said to the other, well, you know, the Scripture says an eye for an eye. They didn't read the rest of that. That's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was giving them an example. But then Jesus went on and said, but I say to you, by God's grace, we can forgive. By God's grace, we can be merciful. By God's grace, we can show compassion. Well, those are the two tests. Conclusion. Aren't you glad we're at the conclusion? But then you got this question. Are you merciful? Are you forgiving? Are you showing compassion? And please understand, if we have to answer either one of these with a no, then we need to come back to God and say, oh God, you're going to have to help me. You're going to help me be merciful. You're going to help me be forgiving so that I in turn will receive mercy and I in turn will receive forgiveness. You see, the bottom line in all this And basically, this is what Jesus is saying, for you and I to go out and do mercy. Isn't that a strange way to say that? We go out and do mercy. We go out and do compassion. We go out and do forgiveness. And please understand, it's only when we go out and do mercy that we're going to find that we are blessed in this very upside down kingdom. But that's what He wants us to do. That's what He calls us to do. That is what we are supposed to do. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had to be together. We thank You that You work in our lives. And even when we don't deserve grace, when we don't deserve forgiveness, when we don't deserve mercy, You give us grace, You offer us forgiveness, You give us forgiveness, and You work in our lives in a merciful way, and You show us compassion so that we can show that same compassion to other people. Of all the things that we've talked about, perhaps this is the most convicting one that we've looked at thus far. Perhaps it speaks to us because so many of us have experienced hurts. So many of us look at people and think, why did they do that? They brought all this on themselves. We're not to be their judge and jury. We're to be the ones who reach out a helping hand and lift them up and show the love of Jesus even when it may not be shown back to us. So, Lord, if there are those here this evening, and as I was talking about the yellow pad, and they were thinking there's not enough paper, I pray, Father, that You'd help them to begin to forgive, to show mercy, to be compassionate, because we have been forgiven. We have been given mercy. Your compassions are new and are at work in our lives each and every day. Lord, it's an upside down way of thinking. It's not a way in which our world thinks. But we are not part of this kingdom. We are part of Your kingdom. So help us to live it out. And as we live it out, Lord, we too will be shown mercy. Thank You for this time that we've had together tonight, Lord. There are those of our congregation who are going through very tough times. May You reach Your healing, helping hand down. May Your grace be sufficient for them in their time of need. And we give You praise, honor, and glory for what You're going to do with them and for them. Go with us from this place. Help us, Lord, this week to live this out. And Lord, when the devil would try to bring things up that maybe we've forgotten about or maybe we've forgiven, help us, oh God, once again to say, I forgive, I will be merciful. Because God has been merciful. We love You, we thank You, we praise You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad you were here this evening. Remember Wednesday night, we're going to finish up the study that we've been doing in Daniel. And then, not this Wednesday night, but the next Wednesday night, we're going to begin Super Summer Something. And it's going to be a great time as we have over the summer. God bless you. I hope you have a great rest of the week. If you're on Facebook this evening, be sure and leave a comment so that we'll know that you were there. Hope you all have a great week. Love you guys.